And I've entitled this message, Psalms chapter 1.
All right.
That's unusual.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Verse 4. For the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us, Lord. We ask for courage, for exhortation, for encouragement. And Father, we ask for correction and conviction, too, where it may be needed. And we ask that you would anoint your word and prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Chapter 1 displays a contrast between the godly man and the ungodly man. Verses 1 through 3 is the godly man, and then verses 4 through 6 would be the wicked man or the ungodly man. Although this was not the New Testament days, if you were to apply this chapter to the New Testament days, it would be speaking to either the godly man, the Christian man that's walking with Jesus Christ, or the one that's not saved, or perhaps maybe a Christian that is saved that's become ungodly because they've walked away from Christ. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." Just like in the New Testament, the word blessed here means joyful. Happy will you be. I remember last year at one of the 2010 outreaches, I shared with you guys that being a Christian is a verb. It requires action. It requires fruits, evidence of our salvation. However, our verbs, our actions, must never be out of sync with the Lord or out of step with the Lord. The minute we become out of sync or out of step, it's known as sin, missing the mark. Our verb actions should not be regressing in a downward spiral, but be progressing us in an upward movement, forward motion with Jesus. As verse 1 says, there's three verb actions mentioned here: walking, standing, and sitting. You can add your own imaginary additions to that verse if you wanted to. But my question is, actually God's question is, God already knows the answers, obviously, but where are we walking? Where are we standing? And where are we sitting? And more importantly, whom are we walking with? And whom are we standing? And whom are we sitting with? I remember years ago working an undercover LAPD vice assignment. It was like putting bait on a hook or a lure. We put an attractive female on the corner of Sunset Strip in a secondary street, and I was dressed as a homeless man with a cardboard box and an old beat-up bicycle. And we were all wired listening, and we put the little female on the street corner. And our goal was to set the hook, if you will, for that lone male motorist that would glance over and see the girl on the corner and take the bike, and then solicit her for sex, for prostitution, and then we'd have a black and white pull him over. But lo and behold, there was a sharp, handsome-looking businessman in a nice suit walking down the street, and I'm acting like the homeless bum, and he was walking towards the ATM machine on the corner at the bank. And he looked over and saw our lure, our female undercover officer, standing on the corner, and he was walking, and then he stopped and stared at her, and now he was standing and staring at this girl. And you know that his heart was probably not just standing, his heart was probably sitting down with her, his heart was probably already lying down with her in his mind and his heart. And he walked up to the ATM machine, and I'm watching this guy because I figured this guy's going to take the bait. And he's doing his withdrawals, and he probably even got more cash than he originally intended. So he got his cash withdrawal, and he walked right up to her, and sure enough, he offered her some money for sex in exchange, and we had a violation. But sin, that's how sin sometimes starts. It starts on how we're walking and whom with, how we're standing, and how we're sitting. But, you know, Satan has his wiles, his schemes, and his strategies, and his tactics, and I think that Christians, we Christian men here, ought to have our spiritual strategies. We ought to be spiritual tacticians so that we know how the enemy can work against us. We need to be prepared for that in the spiritual warfare. And as we gauge in the world, in this world, as men, and by the way, the man walking, standing here is gender neutral. In the old Hebrew language, it really means blessed is the person, not just the man, but we are a men's group here at this breakfast. But Jesus warned us in John 15:19. He said, "If you were of the world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We need to be delighted. In verse, it also says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. We need to be so delighted about the Word of God and the laws of God and the Word and the precepts and the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need to be really excited about that. We need to constantly read God's Word. Chew on it, swallow it, digest it, regurgitate it, but don't spit it out. Live it out. And where he said in verse 2 regarding meditating day and night, the word meditate here means to mumble. We need to mumble to God and mumble God's Word all day long. And we also need to pray and meditate in prayer with the Lord all day long without ceasing. That's so important. Then in verse 3, he says, and that's the Christian that's obeying these commandments, that's walking with the Lord, he shall be like a tree. In the New Testament, it would be the Christian should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. In verse 3a, the first section of this verse, the Christian, the man of God, should be like a tree. We should be like the palm tree, the date palm tree mentioned in Jeremiah 17:8. Verse 3b, we should be planted by the rivers of water. Our feet need to be planted firmly on the Word of God and on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation. And the roots of our faith and soul need to be so deeply planted that the living water, Jesus' Holy Spirit, is reaching our roots and giving us our nutrition. As I said many years ago, Jesus is the true Culligan man. You know, the old commercial, hey, Culligan man, Jesus is the living water. In verse 3c, it says, that brings forth its fruit in its season. We ought to be bearing fruit. But sometimes, as Pastor George shared a story where a guy preached to nobody. God called a man to preach at a location where there was nobody in attendance. And 20 years later, this man found out that there was a homeless man sitting in a bush that heard the message and got saved. And he didn't even know that he bared that fruit until two decades later. And sometimes we're never going to know what our fruit is. Sometimes we'll never find out. And then in verse 3d, that tree, that Christian, it says, whose leaf shall not wither. See, if we do this, our leaves will not wither. We won't be all dried up and literally sucked up like prunes in this world system. Verse 3e says, and whatever he does shall prosper. Again, self-explanatory. We will bear the fruits and we will be prosperous. And of course, it's not all about us becoming prosperous. It's really about reaching out to others and allowing them to be prosperous by what we're doing in Christ to them. Amen. Now, verses 4 through 6 speaks of the ungodly, or the non-saved, or the non-Christian in the New Testament. Verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind drives away. The ungodly are like the chaff. What is the chaff? It's the remnants, the refuse, the trash, the rubbish. It's the leftovers after harvesting the crops. A few examples of some leftovers. I enjoy going to the Roadhouse Grill for lunch or dinner. You walk in there, and what do you hear under your feet when you're walking on the floor?
Peanut shells.
I mean, they give you these galvanized buckets, and you spend all the time diligently going through those, and you eat the seed, the substance, the produce, the product, the meat in the center. And what do you do with the chaff, the seed? You throw it onto the ground, and as it says in Matthew chapter 5, it's as good for nothing but men to trample upon. And that is the chaff. And God doesn't want us to be the chaff. A sunflower seed versus the kernel versus the shell, the same thing. The shell is the chaff. It's good to be blown away. Or the corn versus the husk. Or any kind of seed versus its shell. So I ask, and God's asking me the same. Do you want to be like the chaff, the leftovers men, or anybody who's listening to this audio? Or do you want to be the best part, the seed, the kernel? I like what the Army's motto says, be all that you can be. And that's what we Christians need to be. We're in the Army now. We're drafted. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Not being able to stand means the ungodly have no stability. If we're not on that rock of our salvation, we won't be stable. If our roots aren't firmly planted down in the deep soil, we will not be stable. And we will not stand through the persecutions and the trials and all those things that come our way. And we'll be like the chaff, literally just blown away. I don't know about you guys, but I know you guys want to be useful. Yes. We don't want to be useless, right?
Yes.
Amen. Right. I would suggest reading more about the judgment mentioned in verse 5 in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 through 46. It's an interesting read. Then in verse 6, the last but not least verse of chapter 1 of Psalms, verse 6 says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish."
Amen.
This verse means there's a right way and a wrong way. There's a right road and a wrong road. But there's only one way of access onto that right road. Years ago, I was working in the city of Riverside as a policeman, and we had a call of a motorcycle accident. And we got there, and there was a guy and his girlfriend were riding on a motorcycle. Unfortunately, the driver, the male, he turned right going the wrong way on Wong Way, literally. He turned the wrong way on a street called Wong Way, W-O-N-G Way. And he was at a high rate of speed. In order to avoid a head-on collision, this motorcyclist and his poor girlfriend sitting on the back weaved out of traffic, but they hit a telephone pole. I mean, at a high rate of speed. They were both killed instantly. But I noticed that the male driver, he had no teeth, and he was all bloody because of the damage, even with his helmet on, because they both hit the pole. I then noticed a dental implant, indentation of teeth stuck inside the telephone pole. You can see the roots of most of his teeth, upper and lower jaws,
wow,
embedded in the telephone pole.
Wow.
And that's what happens to us in the spiritual realm when we go the wrong way on Wong Way. The right road is one of the many right roads is mentioned in Proverbs 2:8. It says, "He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints." One of the right roads or right ways is mentioned in Proverbs 4:19. "The way of the wicked is like darkness." Excuse me, that was wrong. This is the wrong road. "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So we know there's a right way and a wrong way. And in closing, I ask, what road are you on? Are you walking, standing, and sitting, or lying down in the right places with the right people? The only way to the right road is in John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to my Father but through me."
Amen.
So anyways, that's a 13-minute sermon on the entire first chapter of Psalms chapter 1. I'm going to turn off this recorder, and if you guys want to open this up for open table discussion, feel free to do so.